Well, good morning, everyone. It's good to be back with you. We had a wonderful time out in Texas. Houston is still there and as big as ever. And we had a great time with our oldest son, daughter-in-law, and four-year-old grandson. As I told some people throughout the week, we probably ate way too much barbecue that one person should consume in 1 week. But it was great. We had a good time. One Sunday, there was a story told of a minister who was finishing up a series on marriage. And at the end of the service, he was giving out small crosses to each married couple. And he said, "Place this cross in the room in which you argue the most, and you will be reminded of God's presence with you, and you won't argue so much." Well, one woman came up after the service and said, "Pastor, you better give me 5 of those crosses." You know, there's a lot of sermon topics that are hard to deliver. There's a lot of topics that are also hard to hear. But we can't avoid one part of Scripture at times. We have to bring forth the Word of God and what Jesus is really trying to tell us. So why is it we get excited about going out and doing the work of Christ? And we get really excited with someone who hears the gospel message for the first time and they come to Christ and we're all excited. But then comes the topic, marriage. And we might squiggle a bit. "We don't know about this. I don't know about this. I probably should have stayed in bed this morning." Why does it matter? It comes down to this. It comes down to truth. Our lives are controlled by something. And what we just read from Scripture is a clear indication of why it does matter. In our gospel reading today, Jesus is continuing his travels around the region. He is now on the coast of Judea, and as usual, crowds have been following him, trying to get anything they could from Jesus, trying to hear his message. And he is now in this area and comes a seemingly odd dialogue right out of the blue. Jesus didn't set out to discuss marriage at this time. But the Pharisees have set out to trick Jesus. We see perfect examples of this in our own political arena. And I'm talking in general now, not everything you've been hearing on TV. In general, when a person of one group feels they're threatened in their own ideology and they try to trick the other group. The Pharisees have been trying to corner Jesus for some time. This isn't something new. They've been trying to trick Jesus for some time. And as I mentioned before, here's someone out there who's doing things that these Pharisees could never even dream of at that time. Healings taking place. Powerful teachings coming from this man, Jesus. Attracting huge crowds. Powerful prayers that he was giving. And instead of looking at Scripture and all the signs of the Messiah that they had, in the minds of the Pharisees, they were being threatened. Their leadership was being threatened. Their ideology was being threatened. So they wanted to do something that would discredit Jesus. If they could just show that he was a false teacher. So they came up with this brilliant scheme. And they asked about divorce. You see, divorce is a hot topic. It was back then, and frankly, it still is today. So the Pharisees go up to Jesus and ask the question, "Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife?" And here's their thought process. If Jesus had said yes, he would discredit himself because of his own teachings. If he said no, he discredits the law as they see it. But remember, this is God incarnate. So Jesus answers their question, as he usually does a lot of times, with a question of his own. Jesus said, "You follow the law of Moses, and you have your teachings. What does Moses command you?" Jesus knew what their answer would be. You see, they could not totally agree on the issue themselves. Because there were two teachings or interpretations of what Moses instructed. One group said you could only divorce on moral grounds. The other said you could divorce for any grounds. You made a bad dinner or you didn't cut the lawn, you know, whatever. So Jesus gets to the very center of the issue. This doesn't have to do with interpretation of the law. It's all about one thing, a hard heart. Now, what is that? A hard heart is an affliction that hinders both belief and understanding. It means heavy, dull, insensitive to God. The Hebrew people Jesus had referred to had hard hearts. They became insensitive to God. They complained and grumbled. Excuse me. Better. They complained and grumbled a lot. Last week you heard in our Old Testament reading a reference to the people complaining about manna that God had given while they were in the desert and left Egypt. And all they could think about were the leeks and the onions and the garlic that they had back in Egypt. Their hearts were so hardened to God's provision and freedom that they had forgotten about the oppression and the slavery that they were set free of. And that is exactly what sin does. It enslaves us. So Jesus cuts right to the chase. Let's forget about Moses for the moment, he said. Let's forget about the law and how it is interpreted. Let's go to the very beginning. Let's look at how man and woman were created. Man and woman were created perfect. They were perfect for each other. They complemented each other, Jesus said. But from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let no man separate. Jesus changes the whole focus. This is how you were made. We all know these words too well as we hear them at almost every church wedding. He can never say that Jesus didn't speak about marriage or what marriage is. It's pretty clear what he said. Became one flesh in a physical, we could become one flesh in a physical sense, man and woman, and spiritually speaking, there is a unique connection that takes place. God's standard is that this is a lifetime commitment. God's standard says no person will separate it. And Jesus gets into some real heavy teaching with his 12 disciples. And Jesus, he talks how if one divorces, they commit adultery and remarriage. Those are heavy words. In fact, the disciples, when we read about Matthew's account of this dialogue, they say, wow, if that is the way it is, it's better to stay single. There's a reason we say at every marriage ceremony, therefore, marriage is not to be entered into unadvisedly or lightly, but reverently, deliberately, and in accordance with the purposes for which it was instituted by God. Now, having said that, I will say this. There are indeed biblical and mitigating circumstances where divorce is justifiable or indeed necessary. Infidelity, physical or mental abuse, even deeper issues that we could go into, but that's not the point of this dialogue. Remember, Jesus is responding to a trick question on divorce. In doing so, he is reaching into the very core of the human condition. People's hearts can become so hardened, they forget why they came into the relationship and then throw it away at a whim. Almost all of us go grocery shopping, right? We go to the grocery store, we go through the checkout line. What do you see at the checkout line as you're leaving? There before you are all these lifestyles of the people that many in society today admire. One actor dumps his wife for another person. One actress dumps her husband for another person. So-and-so caught in a love triangle. Another couple spends millions on settlements. One has to ask, where is the heart in those relationships? Is the relationship centered on just lust and selfishness and greed? I remember one time I was scanning the tabloids, Sometimes I open a conversation with a cashier saying I'm looking for sermon material. But one time, there in the middle of this hurt and turmoil of people's lives was a magazine that read, "The Bible, Why It Matters." What an object lesson. Right in the middle of the article after article of heartache and confusion and inner pain and suffering of the human condition, something springs forth. I want you to hear this above all else. God's truth, His only truth, matters. It mattered in creation. It mattered throughout history. And it still matters today. That's why in His response on marriage, in His expounding and His teaching with His disciples, He centers on the heart. You see, the heart is the very core of our being. When we look at our physical heart, we think of an organ that beats life's blood through our arteries and veins. We think of these poundings in our chest that changes with our emotions. When we do meet that special person for the first time, it beats a little faster. When we get excited, it beats faster. When we rest, it slows down so the body's according to the body's needs. When we are frightened, adrenaline is pumped into our system and it speeds up again to be ready for any response that needs to be given. When it stops, we die. Our spiritual heart resides deep within us. It's the very center of our emotions. Our mind gives us intellect, but it is the heart that drives us. When we set boundaries for our children, intellect tells us when those boundaries are broken. It is the heart that drives us to set those boundaries. I love you. I don't want you to get hurt. I want to protect you in this or that situation. The heart is mentioned more times in Scripture than any other topic. Scripture reminds us of the heart can be troubled, wounded, pierced, and even broken. It can also be cheerful, glad, merry, joyful, and rejoicing. The heart can be wise, it can be foolish. It can be steadfast, true, and upright, stout, and valiant. It can also be frightened, faint, cowardly, and melt like wax. The heart can be wandering, forgetful, dull, stubborn, proud, and hardened. Jesus reminded us a few weeks ago in Mark 7. We covered this in the service. "For from within, out of the heart of man, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within," Jesus said, "and they defile a person." Or Jesus also said this, "It can be pure. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God." In the heart resides spiritual death and life. It is there that mankind said, "I can do things on my own." It is there this battle rages, looking for some way to find out the truth about life. But you see, it is also there we find the answer to why Jesus came to us. I have a simple graphic I want to bring up on the screens to share with you, and it's very simple about what I mean. The human race was created with a heart that knew the light of God. It was in that light. They walked in that light. Their heart was pure. By free will and choice, there was division from God. By rebelling against God, mankind stepped into the darkness. And despite the troubles we find in our heart, despite the turmoil our lives may be in, whatever the tabloids of your heart reads, Jesus, by His Spirit, comes into that troubled heart and pulls it back into His light. And He brings it back with a message. The message is, you matter. And He wants to take that heart that resides in you and make it something special. Going back to the teaching Jesus gave, divorce is not unforgivable. It is Jesus through the Holy Spirit that comes in and offers forgiveness of a repentant heart, whatever is going on in there. That is not to say I will go ahead and sin and then ask for forgiveness. That is stepping on dangerous ground. There is no heart change in that kind of attitude. We have in this twisted philosophy out there in society that it's easier to ask for forgiveness than to ask for permission. Forgiveness comes when we say, I've messed up. I want to change the direction I'm going in and go in the direction that God has for me. And out of that free gift of grace that Jesus offers, all who call on him comes freedom. We are redeemed. The promise given by God in Ezekiel says this, I will give you a new heart and a new spirit, and I will put within you, and I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. We need to understand just how much God loves us. God moves mightily in the heart of those who open up to him. No matter what troubles you may be facing in life, no matter what issues you have gone through in your past, Jesus Christ, by his Spirit, brings healing and forgiveness. The Holy Spirit is able to go into the deepest places of your being, where you harbor all those things that plague you. And I want to tell you, I speak from experience. I've had hurts in my life. Ask Debbie, we've both had hurts in our life that God has reached in and brought healing and wholeness in those areas that troubled us in our young lives before we got married. The Holy Spirit is able to go into those areas and that you harbor on and plague you. All these things that separate you from God. And God comes in and says, this is my home now. I reside here. He will cleanse you, forgive you, and begin a new work in you. You may be a Christian and have walked with the Lord for years, but still have issues of the heart. Maybe unforgiveness that you have held on to and haven't let go. You can give that to the Lord today. Whatever separates you, whatever you hold on to, let God enter those areas and bring healing and wholeness. I don't think it was a mistake that immediately following this teaching that children wanted to come and touch Jesus. Just touch him. And some of the disciples rebuked them or told them to get away, probably because they were concerned about Jesus. They probably thought he needed to rest or he was too busy. I think Jesus was looking at the children's heart. A child's heart is ripe for truth. It is a heart that is being developed and hungry for growth. And Jesus said, do not hinder them, for such belongs to the kingdom of God. We need to come to Jesus like a child, hungry for what he has for us. I want you to know, God's word matters. You matter. He created you and has something wonderful for each and every one of you. May we all open our heart and let him in. Let him touch those areas that need to be set free. Let him touch the areas that are wounded and hurting. Let him bring wholeness to your life today. Don't hold on to it. Give it to him. Allow the Holy Spirit to move in you and bring cleanliness, and wholeness to those areas that are hurting you. He wants you to be whole. He wants all of us to be whole and to be set free of that which binds us. May we pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for all that you want to do for us. That the stuff that we have inherited from the beginning, that darkness, can be set free. Father, you said that all we have to do is to come to you and ask you in. So, Father, if there's anybody here who's never done that, who's never said, Lord, I receive you as Lord and Savior, I ask that you receive them now, Lord God. Allow them to come into, allow them to open their hearts to you right now and bring that healing, bring that wholeness that only you can give. And I thank you, Father, for all that you are doing in and through this parish, in and through each individual sitting in this room, that you have a special task, a special call on each and every person here, Lord. So, Holy Spirit, we ask that you would move in our hearts. Continue to open us up for all that you have to do and not to hinder that and to be set free from those things that do hinder us. For it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.